Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity, and I'm bringing this sermon for June 19th, 2022. Our passage for today is Luke 8, 26 to 39. We'll also do a reading from Psalm 42 and 43. But we'll start in the New American Standard Bible. I'd like to read this passage. It's a little long. Luke 8, 26 to 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house, but in the tombs. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They were imploring Jesus not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored him to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to see Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear. And he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Before we start our sermon, let's have a word of prayer. We thank you, Father, that you have sent your Son Jesus to be with us now and forever, and that Jesus, you are Lord of all, and the demons submit to you. You have broken the stranglehold they have on us. You've broken the stranglehold of evil, sin, and death. And our life is in you now. And so we pray by your precious Holy Spirit that your life might be manifest in us, that today we might see light in our darkness, hope in our despair, joy in our depression. And we thank you that it's a gift from you. All in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, many years ago, I remember walking along the streets of the small town in which we lived. I was pushing my newborn son in a carriage, and or stroller, I guess is the modern term. And I was walking along, and I was really having a struggle at that time. And when I got home, I got this phone call from a neighbor of ours who's a friend, and she was my nurse. And she said, "The doctor wants to see you." Well, I said, "Why?" And she said, I think you have depression and you need to have him see you." And what I was not aware at the time was that I had a genetic disorder predisposition to, when I had children, have my postpartum depression turn into clinical depression. And it was a chemical imbalance. And when I dealt with it, I was able to handle it better. I didn't have as much depression. But it was one of those things that I've had to deal with in my life, is this thing of mental illness. And I'm grateful with the pandemic that we become a little more aware of the reality of mental illness, the need to get, you know, help with those things. Unfortunately, within the church or the body of Christ, there has not always been this openness to the issues of mental health illness. And there is not always an understanding that mental health issues are not simply Satan's work. There are things having to do with body chemistry, having to do with dealing with dysfunction in a family and unhealthy family systems and things that need work, that need help in order to be able to find healing. And so sometimes we need to get help. Sometimes we need something to help our body chemistry to balance out like it's supposed to be, so our body works and our mind works the way that it should. There are things we have to do sometimes. But it's also true, in the midst of all of that, that God comes and He's present and He meets us in the middle of our depression and despair and enables us to move forward. One of the stories for this Sunday is one about the prophet Elijah. And it's in 1 Kings 19, and you can read about it there. And here this prophet had just got done doing this great big demonstration of the power and glory of God. He'd gone up on the mountain, and God had brought down fire, and the prophets of Baal had been shown up as false, and they'd been all killed. But then King Ahab, Queen Jezebel, were not happy about that at all. And Jezebel threatened Elijah's life. And so Elijah, which is kind of interesting, but after that great spiritual high, takes off and runs and hides in the wilderness. And he was afraid for his life because she threatened to kill him. So at some point, you know, he ends up under a tree, and he's just saying, God, just take my life. I'm done, you know. Now, I think there are times when some people have had those feelings of utter, I'm just done. I'm done. Well, then he eats something, drinks something, and goes 40 days on that food, on out into the wilderness, till he gets to this other place, and he says the same thing, you know, I'm the only one left, you know, I've done all this for you, and just take my life, you know, I'm not, you know, feelings of worthlessness, depression, he was on a real low. What's interesting is God meets him there. And God meets him there, but when Elijah goes out to sea, there's this big wind, but he's not in the wind. God's not in the wind. There is an earthquake, but God's not in the earthquake. There's a fire, but he wasn't in the fire. But then there was this still small voice. And both times, God had asked him this simple question. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Which is a really good question. Because sometimes we're lost in that place within ourselves, in that darkness. And we're all alone. And we're like, oh Lord, you know, I'd be better off dead or whatever. And God's just saying, what are you doing here? The thing is, God's there too. God is present. He's there because Jesus comes into our human flesh to live and die and rise again and send his spirit to dwell in human hearts so that God is present in every moment, even in our darkest despair. He's in the midst of that darkness. And what's interesting with Elijah is once he addresses, speaking to him in that still small voice, reminding him he's present, but not in the huge, big, spectacular stuff. You know, fire from heaven, destroy the Baal. No, he's, yeah, he was in that, but that's not always how God works. Sometimes the way God works is simply to be with you in the midst of the depths of the despair where you are. You may not always know he's there, but he's present. And what's interesting with Elijah is he finally gets him to the place where he gives him something new to do. He gives him something new to do. And when he begins to do it, it's like all of a sudden his life takes the next step. And he gives him Elisha to support him in his ministry. And he goes on from there. So one of the other readings for today is a Psalm, or for this Sunday, is Psalm 42 and 43. Now, if you're going through a very difficult and painful time, this is such a good psalm to really dig into and read and pray over and pray to God. Yeah, it's a great psalm. It starts out and says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where's your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. So the psalmist here is just being frank with God about his pain, about his sorrow, and the longing so often for those things is our longing for God and for his presence in the middle of what we're going through. I mean, he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And so he keeps going back to that in the midst of this lament, this sorrow, this grief. He's being frank with God about his sadness, his longing, his aloneness, his need for God in the midst of what he's going through. And then in verse 8 he says, by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. You know, when we have God spirit present in us, with us, in the midst, and we may not know this, but it says that the spirit, when we can't pray, when we can't say the words that need to be said of what's going on inside of us, the spirit can pray. Spirit prays for us and intercedes for us. And Jesus intercedes for us because he's down in there. So we participate in Christ's prayer to the Father. How powerful is that? That we did. We're just there, you know, and present while Christ is praying for us. But in verse 9, he says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go around mourning, oppressed by the enemy? And so he goes on about why my soul are you downcast? Why are you so sad? Why are you so disturbed? Put your hope in God. He repeats that again. Put your hope in God, because I will yet again praise him. So he has that sense of hope, because why? Because he knows that God is present in the midst of his struggle, his depression, his, he knows God is going to do what is necessary in that situation. He says, send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. And then he closes again. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. It's interesting. He says, send me your light and your faithful care. Or it also says truth in other translations. Why? Do you understand, though? We want God in the middle of what we're going through. We don't want to go through this by ourselves, right? Send me your light and your faith. But what did Jesus say he was? Didn't he say that he was the light? Didn't he say he was the truth? Isn't it true that he is our loving God? And he's where? He's in us, with us, by the Holy Spirit. So in the midst of whatever we're going through, we may not be able to see or hear or sense that God's there, but in the dark night of our soul, he is just as present as he always is. He's there. Our struggle with despair, discouragement, depression, and so on, it expresses a longing for God's presence and his light in our darkness. It's a cry of our heart. God, I need you. I need you to solve this problem. I need you to let me know I'm not alone. I'm not forgotten. I'm not abandoned. Because God doesn't do the abandoned thing, even though we seem to think he does. Jesus, the one who's the light and the truth, he knows the deep yearnings of our heart. He went all the way into darkness and death to bring us up into the light of God's presence, now and forever. I mean, he did what had to be done so that we don't have to live in darkness. He knows the dark night of our soul. He knows what it's like to be betrayed, to be forsaken, to be rejected, to be insulted, to be wounded, to be beaten, to be any. He knows what it feels like to barely be able to take another step. I mean, that is an experience I've had, like getting out of bed and going, why bother? What's the point? But Jesus, on his road to the cross, knew the end was going to be death, but he took another step, right? And sometimes that's all we can do, is take another step. And when we can't do that, we gotta rely on Jesus to take that step for us, in us and through us. And on the cross, Jesus drove out the satanic spirits of despair, despondency, desolation. Satan has lost his power. And anyone who is having issues with demonic influence, whatever form it may take, it needs only the name of Jesus Christ. But those are things that I respectfully yield to people a little more mature than I am. But what we can do is always and ever trust in Christ. Turn to Christ. Put Christ on. Put on his endurance, his perseverance, his hope, his joy. Sometimes we need it from beyond ourselves. And that may require us asking someone for help. Whoa! We may have to stop isolating ourselves and allow ourselves to actually be known by other people. People who would be gracious enough to allow us to be faulty and flawed, to be truly ourselves and not have to perform to anyone's expectations, to be free to truly be who God created us to be. Sometimes we need help for that. Sometimes we need a team of people who are on our side. Who are the people in your life who are on your side? You know they're for you. And they'll tell you the truth, even though you may not want to hear it. And they'll love you anyway, right? You need people like that in your life. Sometimes we need a therapist. If we need a therapist, we need to just go get one. We need to do what needs to be done. And sometimes we need medication. And if we need it, we need to take it. We need to be consistent and faithful in taking it. And sometimes that's hard to do because we may think, I don't need it anymore. Well, sometimes some conditions require we continue. But in every situation, any of those situations, we do need Jesus Christ in us and with us by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gives us true healing and wholeness. He's the one that provides us with hope, a reason to go on, a reason to keep trying. He meets us in the middle of our dark places and brings light. We can, on our participation in what he's done, we can choose to ignore the lies. There will be lies spoken to you that say, you're not loved. You're not loved by God or anyone. You're not worthwhile. Oh, don't listen to the lies. Don't listen to the lies that say you're abandoned or forgotten. Don't listen to that. Sometimes it may be that there are some changes we need to make in our life that we're not willing to make. And that's also a lie, right? Denial. Denying the reality that maybe we need to make some changes in our life. Changes in relationships, changes in activity, changes in choices, getting help, things like that. And part of our participation, what Christ has done, can be choosing to believe Jesus is present in the middle of our darkness. He's holding us steadfastly in the Father's embrace. He has got a hold of us. He's not going to let go of us. And we can choose to hang on to that and believe that. And we can allow Jesus to be who he is. Who is he? He is the one who's the light and the truth. And he's right down there in the middle, underneath all the dark and blackness in our well, our deep well, that we get lost in sometimes. He has not forgotten us, and he never does forget us. And he does not abandon us. We're the ones who sometimes lose sight of him. But he is always and ever faithful and loving. So, one of the ways we can be reminded that Jesus is with us and in us is as we come together to the communion table and we take the bread and the wine or grape juice. And we are reminded of what Christ has done, is doing, and will do because of who he is as our light, as the truth of our being. He is all that we need. I mean, we just turn to him over and over anew each day. One more step. One more trusting, one more belief, one more, but it's him holding us. We can trust him. So we affirm the essentials of our faith. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory both now and forever. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, in the precious and powerful name of Jesus, if there is anyone here today listening to this who is struggling with depression, with grief, with despair, with despondency, with desolation, with any of the D's, with darkness, evil, anything that's got them enslaved or bound, in the precious and powerful name of Jesus, I proclaim them free, healed, and whole. And Heavenly Spirit, I pray in this moment you will make that so, that they will know this to the core of their being, how they are loved, how they are held, how they are not alone and never will be forsaken or abandoned, but you will always hold them and bring them back to yourself. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for offering your body and your blood, and for pouring yourself out for us so we can be free and whole and healthy. In your precious name we pray and thank you. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus offered bread. So take, eat, this is my body broken for you. We celebrate Jesus offering himself in our place on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. He also offered a cup of fruit of the vine. He said, this is my blood shed for you. To be willing to voluntarily let others pour his blood out when he could have gotten down off the cross. But no, he knew we needed that. He knew we needed his life for our life. Receive the gift he has given. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our Heavenly Father, who has made us one in Christ, his Son, and by his Spirit, and has made his true children and dearest, may he bless you, keep you, make his face shine at you, and give you his peace. And I hope you have a great week. May God watch over you and keep you safe.